Hey everybody, thanks for downloading Stoppage Time. I'm Hayden Herrera. A quick side note before the show begins. This was taped on a Tuesday night, right before the news that Luis Suarez is actually going to stay at Liverpool. So if you're wondering, hey, why aren't they talking about that? That's because as we were filming said episode, the news had just broke. So we will be sure to cover that, along with the rest of the news, as week one in the EPL approaches on next week's edition of Stoppage Time. So until then, just sit back and enjoy the show.
We're back. Welcome to another edition of Stoppage Time. I'm Hayden Herrera, joined as always alongside the wonderful Devin Cook. Devin, hello.
Nice to be here again, Hayden.
And Zach Smith.
Nice to be here.
No adjective before your name, but maybe next episode. All right. Well, it's that time again. Saturday is the start of what we've all been waiting for. After months of waiting, watching the Confederations Cup, which, by the way, I enjoyed.
I feel like it was a better tournament this year than past times.
It was, and we really got to see a lot of, you know, talent that's going to come to the Premier League. I digress. Premier League starts Saturday. That's why we're here with our EPL preview show.
Also, the United States of America won the Gold Cup, CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Yeah, ooh, but very expected, I think.
A lot of good
yes, the sun, rose from the east as well.
And meanwhile, Stoke City has signed 4 Americans.
All right. Having said all that, what storyline are you guys most intriguing to you this season? Devin, we'll start with you.
Up until the end of August, I think the storyline that will steal everything right now would be, I'm going to go with the Rooney over the Bale story, actually, because okay. I think more, I'm not going to say more is at stake for that team, because actually United would be better, would be decent with, I mean, they're not going to struggle like Tottenham would if they lose Bale, but I think that's the story that everyone is kind of looking at.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to go with not a player at all. I'd go with the departure of Sir Alex Ferguson enter David Moyes into the picture of Manchester United, which, stemming from that, would be the player issues we're having on and off the field and in the transfer market. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the points reflect this off-season turmoil and how we end up after August and what his squad looks like.
I agree. I think as a whole, you know, the fact that this season is wide open, and there's really been not one clear cut favorite that everyone's picking to win this year. And speaking of winning, that's what Man United did last season, the champions. Question for you guys, you know, they didn't really lose a lot besides, you know, Paul Scholes retiring again. They brought in Wilfried Zaha from Crystal Palace. That's pretty much their only big, you know, signing. Haven't really made a lot of noise in the transfer window. The Cesc Fabregas thing never panned out. Mm-hmm. Do you think they have, you know, what it takes to compete and repeat again without Sir Alex?
Absolutely. I think any time you go to bat with Van Persie, that defense, Rooney, possibly still, they have so many striking options. The atmosphere at Old Trafford, all those things factor in, and every year they're going to contend. But as far as the other top flight teams, I don't see any of them have made significant transfers through the market that would put them anywhere above what they were last year in respect to where Manu is now. And the thing about David Moyes is he's never been a tactical coach, and that's not what he has to do here. He has to sit back and watch the show, kind of like Sir Alex did.
I was going to say, as an Everton follower, you know, David Moyes' teams at Everton, you know, built, you know, off of, you know, a strong back line,
And United, United focused more on, you know, with the attack with Van Persie. How do you think? Do you think Moyes will be able to, you know, utilize Van Persie correctly?
I do. And as far as the formation goes, I don't know if having those striking options will you know, prompt him to have an attacking formation, whereas at Everton he was relying on the back four, score a goal, park the bus type of thing. So, yeah, and I think that now that he has striking options, he's going to be a little bit more liberal with the way he's coaching this team. So, you know, and the possibility of adding a few more, it seems that he's going less so for strikers and more midfield and defense at this point. So, you know, I don't know if that's pointing to him, his tendencies to play more defensive or not. We'll find out.
Devin, in your heart of hearts, will Rooney stay, you think, when this is all said and done?
I think he will leave, because I think if one thing's shown the past 3 years in the Premier League, if a player wants to go, it's a matter of time till he does. And I think now would be opportune for United to offload him, because if he's not wanting to be there, I don't think they lack the depth at that position, not to mention the funds they could use to bring someone. Well, they could bring in a quality, even world-class player to replace him. Not that he's not already a world-class player. But you look at United last year, and I think losing him wouldn't be the worst thing for United fans. It would be a big blow. He's been a lot for them in recent years. But you bring in someone like Van Persie, who scores the majority of their goals last year, and arguably, you know, was player of the year last year. You could say that about Bale or Suarez or Van Persie, really. But and I just think that if he wants to go, they need to offload him, and I think he will. I mean, I know that players like him and Bale are like a coin toss right now, but I think the big difference is he has really strongly expressed he wants to leave. Right. And like I said, I think he will. I don't know, just get that feeling.
Right.
About finding the right mold for him right now, because they're not going to sell him to another top-flight Premier League club. He's got to go somewhere else or somewhere lower on the table, and that's the problem. It's not.
Well, he could go to Chelsea.
I don't think they'd sell him to Chelsea.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you. I don't think they would either. But at the same time, that's like the only suitor right now.
Right. Now, if he does go, you think, and if they don't, let's say they sell him, but they still can't get anyone in the transfer window, can Chicharito fill the void?
I think they could sell him somewhere in Germany.
Honestly. Germany.
Well, you know, I don't think he's quality as Rooney. And, you know, if they sell Rooney and they try to fill out Chicharito, that could be successful. But, honestly, it's so significant, it could take them, in my book, from winning the title to a second-place finish. Right now, with how United sits, I know they had a rough preseason. Moyes, not the best start.
Right.
But I look at how dominant they were last year, and that's with even, like, Welbeck having a poor year. And, right. I mean, they're still an impressive team, with or without.
Right. I think, you know, Kaga was really going to have to step up this year, even if Rooney doesn't leave, just to help take pressure off RBP, because he's going to be targeted every game, you know. Well, he always is, but I think especially this season, people are going to, you know, specifically make their defense to where, you know.
Well, we Vimper's saw moments of brilliance from him, last season. He had that hat trick last year, and he distributed well. But I mean, he could be even better this year. Last year could have been more adjustment to the English Premier League. I don't know.
So, predictions for United this year?
I would say United would win the title again, honestly.
I think they win the title as well. They are my title pick.
Wow, okay. We go right off the bat. I'm going to say third. Okay. Just, you know. We'll discuss that, you know,
See this being an interesting year.
Oh yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting.
I think it's going to be a lot closer than it was last time, and I could see it going down to the wire, but I don't know.
All right, let's move on to the neighbors, the noisy neighbors, as Sir Alex called them. Manchester City, they finished second last season. They have done quite a number in the transfer window. Bringing in Fernandinho from Shakhtar, Jesus Navas, Negredo, Jovetic. I mean, this team has really got some
you know, all-star power here. I wouldn't say world-class, you know. Maybe Negredo's, you know, he played in the he showed some signs of brilliance in the Confederations Cup. And they really, I mean, they lost Tevez to, they sold him to Juve, and Colatore's gone and Maicon's gone. But I think they've really, you know, they're not hurting in any position right now. And, you know, this is their first, this is going to be their first season under Pellegrini, and, you know, another manager, another team with a new manager. Is it too much to ask for a title in his first season?
I don't think it's too much to ask. Anytime you put that much talent on the field, there's that much potential to win the title. They would be my number two pick, probably. But as far as all that talent goes, it's the same thing that's kind of plagued them in the past. Is that something that can create a team that can gel with each other? You know, we've seen him bring in the likes of Balotelli and you know, Tevez. There's been off the field issues, problems with them not getting on the field enough. So anytime you bring in these superstars, they're all going to want to play. They're all going to want the spotlight. That's all they've ever had. Mm-hmm. So it's going to create some negative vibes at times, and it's just dealing with that and see if their team can play. Because that's one thing about David Moyes. You know, he hasn't always had superpower, but he's always been able to put a good team on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that goes a long way through the course of a season for Man U. That's why I'd pick them over them.
I was one of the ones that was sad. I'm not a City fan at all, but I was sad to see Mancini go, you know, 12 months after he gave City their first Premier League title. But I can understand some of the reasons why he left. One of them, you know, one of the reasons he was let go is because they weren't progressing at all in Champions League. Devin, should they focus more on advancing further in Europe? Now, to be fair, they have gotten the group of death 2 years in a row, but would you focus more on a Champions League title, progressing further in Europe, or going for the domestic title?
I would say the European title. That, in my book, is the big deal, and they've had enough time now. Now it's like, okay, it was like they're new to it, the European scene, and now right. It's time. There's no excuses anymore. And I think losing Tevez is a big deal for them because he had, you know, to quote, the announcer, the bulldog-like approach.
Martin Tyler?
Martin Tyler, yeah, sorry. That's a fairly easy name to remember. But
British broadcasting icon. Go ahead.
Anyway, but I think that's a big deal. And if they get knocked out at the beginning stage of Champions League this year, I don't know. That club needs
it would be a shot.
Slap
yeah.
in the face.
If you're that manager, I think that's what you're shooting for, just because of what happened to Mancini. You know,
right?
You can win the Premier League title and still get sacked, finishing second just because of your progress in Europe. So I think that's absolutely why they brought this guy in and what he's going to try to do.
Right. Now they. We talked about their signings over this transfer window, but they didn't go after the big guys like Cavani or Falcao or Bale even. Probably pretty smart by there.
Yeah, why spend that money if you would be spending money to put him next to the same caliber of player you're buying? I guess not that Cavani isn't better than an Aguero or something, but how much are you really improving by swapping those players?
Right.
Cavani may only, you know, Aguero may have a better year. I don't know. I don't think the improvements, I think the buys they made were smart. I'm really, if I'm a City fan, I'm happy in this transfer window. They're proven players they bought. Yeah.
And they're different than Mancini's players because mm-hmm. Your typical Mancini signing is that $30 to $40 million bid, whereas these are, you know, 15
yeah,
to 20 million.
I was going
to
say, yeah, Sevilla 17, or I'm sorry, Jesus Navas and Negredo from Sevilla 17 and 16.
Right, so it's you can see him making more of a squad as opposed to just going after the big names, which was, I think you can get carried away doing that as a manager when you have an unlimited checkbook.
I think the key for this, two keys. One, company's got to stay healthy. He was injured for the, you know, most of the second part of last season. That's where we saw them fail. And I think now that Tevez is gone, Aguero's got to establish himself as a top man. And I think he can do it. I mean, he's will he be able to perform week in and week out? You know, remains to be seen. You know, when he had the benefit of, you know, when he wasn't doing as well, Tevez would come in and pick up slack. And now he's got to do that, you know, all by himself. All right, so let's move on to predictions. I think I've gone back and forth every day for the past week or so as my champions, Chelsea or City. It's Chelsea one day, it's City the next.
I see.
Currently, right now, I don't know. I'll probably change it 24 hours from now. But right now, I've got City. I just think they're gonna.
I think City will. I got them finishing second. Second place finish for City.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. I think it's. I think it's, you know, maybe shades of what we saw 2 years ago, but it comes down to the last day, and United pulls through. That's where I'm gonna go.
Okay. Well, speaking of Chelsea, last season they finished in third, and they won the Europa League. Didn't make a huge splash in the transfer window. You know, they could still get Rooney. They got the kid from Leverkusen, Andre Schürrle, or whatever you want to call his name, and they got Mark Schwarzer as a backup to Peter Cech on a free transfer from Fulham. Didn't really lose anybody. Actually, another, you know, incoming player you could say, is, even though he never really left, is Lukaku. He was on loan at West Brom. The return of the special one, Jose Mourinho, back in the Premier League. You know, one of the most colorful personalities in all of world soccer. We've seen that. How do you think he's going to gel into this squad?
I see Chelsea not having maybe as good of a year as I don't think it's going to be roses on the special one's return. And I say that because I'm curious. I don't know what will happen up front for them right now. Lukaku obviously did so well at West Brom last year, and they're going to keep him this year, and he's looked to have promising playing time in the preseason and possibly get that be the front man on opening day.
Yeah, they look very good in preseason.
They look good. But I struggle with saying that they're going to be better than last year, because last year I thought they were pretty good for what they had. And I know their signings are quality players, but they didn't get someone that I really just say, a Rooney, that would make me say, oh, okay, wow.
Right.
You know, I thought they'd win the title last year. I did. But I look at the signings they had this year, and I think I don't know if they went forward a bunch. And the reason I say this is you have to look at how much better everyone around them's getting, and everyone else around them, I think, really got better. And it's not all said and done. Spurs could sell Bale, you know, Rooney could be out for United. But right now, I wouldn't say that they've had the best offseason as far as the transfer market, but they have played well.
Maybe not on the transfer market, but yes, they looked very well in the Guinness International Champions Cup. They did lose Real, but
until they got dismantled by Real. But
before then, they were playing pretty
well. They had a pretty easy group.
Right. The ticking time bomb that is Fernando Torres, is this his last season at Chelsea?
I think that's tentative on his performance. I think
he will Mourinho even give him a chance, you know?
I think so. I think he does, and I think he'd be stupid not to just because of his past and how much money Chelsea has invested on him. I think they do, but as far as Chelsea as a whole, I think that, like Devin said, they haven't really brought anything in that would push them over what they were last year. And that was my title pick, too, last year. And, you know, they performed pretty subpar with the assets that they have and their plastic flag-waving fans demand. So I'd put them at fourth, honestly.
Really?
That's what I'm going to go this year. But I think they go deep into Europe.
Okay.
I think that they win. I think they go out of their group, Champions League. I think they've got a shot at either of the cups in England. I think they go far in those, if not, could win them both. They're a good cup squad, and we've seen that the last few years. So, yeah, that's my prediction there.
I think this pains me to say that I think they have the squad and all the pieces together. Now with Mourinho, they could, you know, possibly put together, they could win the double, the Champions League and the Premier League, I think. Wow. It pains me to say that, because I think
Mourinho will focus on the Champions League. Yeah. I mean, he'll obviously want to, you know, do well in the Premier League, but I feel like a guy of his caliber.
Champions League is a possibility, I think, just because they're a good cup team. I don't think they win the title, though.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think they're consistent enough to win the Premier League title.
But with Mourinho,
everyone else has gotten better this year. It's not going to be like, I don't know.
I think Mourinho's got Mata and Oscar and his. I just think he will finally. I don't know if Rafa was the right man for those types of players, or AVB or Mateo won the championship.
Yeah, and it's he left Real Madrid for this team, so he obviously sees potential. And how much higher can you go from there? So he believes that he could win them both. That's obvious. But, I don't think it's going to be as easy of a road for Special One as he thinks.
Okay, so fourth?
Fourth.
I'm not trying to copy Zach, but I had him at fourth, too.
Wow, okay.
I just don't think...
I don't know. I'm going to second right now, but like I said, I've changed my mind every day between City and Chelsea.
Mix it up and get to fifth and sixth.
All right, last season's fourth was Arsenal. They've brought in no one besides a 19-year-old French kid. You know, that's just what they need, another Frenchman playing in the squad. haven't really lost anyone of real importance. I mean, Gervinho, Arshavin, who was on loan last season. When will only finishing in the top four finally send Arsene Wenger out the door?
I don't think he finishes top four this year. I think he finishes sixth, and I think he's out the door.
This is the year.
This is the year. This is the year because they haven't signed anyone at all, and he's content with fourth, and so are half of their fans.
I was going to say, yeah, you've got a fan base that's split down the middle. They're tired of coming in fourth.
Yeah. So, if he signs Suarez, I think that they contend for the title. If they don't sign anyone else before this window's over, they're an average squad.
They did finish strong last season with a squad that didn't cost a lot, although I thought it was... The scenes in their locker room after coming in fourth, they look like they had just won the title.
Yeah.
They missed out on Higuain. They're most likely going to miss out on Suarez, barring some catastrophic event. So they're going to have to focus on what they got, and I think, the X factor is going to be Wilshere. Is this the year that Wilshere, Devin, becomes an elite player?
Yeah, I'd say that. I really don't like that guy, but... I think he went out last year and proved that he didn't lose anything from injury. And he did show that he needs to be a key part of that midfield. So, I think he comes out this year and shows that, he's kind of the future of England, too, for that squad with an aging midfield. And I think he has the potential to, I'm not going to say Gareth Bale-esque carry Arsenal like Gareth Bale did for Tottenham, but... He is very important.
Yeah, he's brilliant when he's healthy. That's just the problem with him, is if he can stay on the field. I picked him on my fantasy team. He's in my midfield, and I got him at a bargain rate. So, expectations are kind of low for him, but I think he has a good year.
I think, it all depends on, transfer windows up in September, and if they spend, they could, I think they could compete for top two, but
If they spend,
but no. It doesn't look like all signs are pointing to, they're not going to get anyone else, and I think they finish outside the top four as well. Devin?
Fifth.
All right, well, speaking of fifth, last season, Tottenham finished in fifth. They also made it to the quarterfinals of the Europa League, bringing in some... heavy hitters this season, Soldado and Poligno. I'm really excited. We'll talk about Poligno in a second. I'm really excited to see him coming in from Corinthians and Soldado from Valencia.
Not to mention the fellow Belgian winger from FC 20.
Yes.
Who performed extremely well last year.
Those are the guys in. They're without Stephen Caulker.
Yes.
And Clint Dempsey to Sounders.
Yeah, that stinks. He gave up on life. If he wants to go.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Welsh elephant in the room. Will Gareth Bale stay?
Yes. You have to know Daniel Levy. He does not sell for the right, unless it's the right price.
He sold Modric, and he will sell Bale. It's only a matter of time, like you said in the opening. Bale does not want to be there.
That's arguable.
It's arguable by his own quote.
Here's the deal. Modric wanted to leave 2 years prior to or a year before he did leave. He held on to it for one more year and had a great season the year he stayed. And I think you're going to see that with Bale. He's going to stay. He might say, oh, wow, that I wanted to go. But he'll play for us, get us in the Champions League. And then next year he'll say, I have to go this year. And then we'll do what's right and sell him. But I go back to, I'm not going to lose sleep if we lose him. The odds, call me crazy, don't think he's going to have the year if he stays or goes, whether it's at Real or Tottenham, he had last year. That was something else. Why? Well, first of all, Tottenham's had more talent. He's not going to be able to keep the ball away from Soldado, Paulinho, the likes of that. He has people he can pass to now. We have a clinical striker with Soldado up front. He's going to want, I think, you know, prediction, Soldado will lead us in goals, obviously. I don't think Bale's going to do the goal leading this next year.
I mean, he had 30 goals at Valencia. I mean,
that's true, and he's a different striker than Defoe or obviously Bale.
You mean like a functioning striker?
Yeah, I mean, or obviously an Adebayor, which I expect to leave to go to the Turkish side before the end of August. But here's what worries me, to be honest with you. Tottenham, we don't have a whole bunch of depth still at striker.
Right.
If Soldado loses form and Adebayor is indeed out the door, you have Defoe who's... I don't know. He's okay. He's good. He's been good for Tottenham, top five in all-time goal scorers. But like we don't have the depth that a United or a City or a Chelsea have. We can't just say, well, let's throw in another world-class player. It doesn't work like that for Spurs right now. I wish it did. But so I think that's why the Spurs, even if they keep Bale, are still a little bit away from a title challenge. Because you look at the roster... And every position has a player that you say, well, you know, that player could probably start a lot of places, maybe not a, you know, but my point is they have a lot of really high-quality players in every position. So I just think that's our big difference right now is a striker, a depth in the striker position.
You're Daniel Levy, Zach. Real calls and offers $100 million for Bale. Do you say yes?
You're absolutely a brain-dead vegetable if you don't take that offer. He doesn't have the same year that he had last year. If he does, and he's the greatest player of all time. And
I would agree.
To take $100 million, you could buy Suarez for 50. If this is Real, we're still talking here.
Right.
You buy back Modric, and you have money to spare.
Right.
Those two players... I mean the world more than one player.
Not that I would disagree, but Modric, I think, has made it clear he ain't going nowhere now. Ancelotti likes him, and so, I mean, Ancelotti's came out and said he's going to be a big part of our team this year.
It doesn't necessarily have to be him, but you could buy a midfielder of the same caliber as him with that money, and more. You can strengthen that squad where we said we needed depth. It means you're going to need more than one player there. So there's the money.
You know, here's my thing with him. I think Spurs, what if they've looked into it? Now, I don't know. And they kind of looked at who's available in the midfield and thought that they weren't real comfortable in landing someone, another world-class player before August. What if they kind of looked at it and said, well, I don't know if we could get him. Or, you know, would that be a scenario? I don't know.
That could be it. And another thing about Gareth Bale is you don't hear much from him personally in the media. He's not a real talkative guy.
Right.
So it's hard to gauge where he's at, where he's really at. There's no telling based on what the British papers say. He could want to kind of stay there. I don't know. So it's just all about his attitude. Because if you have Gareth Bale on your squad and you're Tottenham, you want Gareth Bale loving where he's at. You want him playing with passion the same way he did last year because he's obviously an emotional player. He's just not one of many words. So if he's leaving, you don't want him playing that pouty game that we've seen from, you know, last year, you know, Tevez, Balotelli. That's the same kind of stuff that they had problems with.
Right.
Great strikers, but they weren't going to play up to their potential just because of their attitude. So that's what it boils down to, I think, for me.
I think if Bale stays, I think, you know, AVB's really got to, you know, divide the time between everyone, you know, between Soldado and Paulinho and, you know, keeping everybody happy. I think that's going to be a big test for him if Bale stays. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think it... I just wonder, the starting 11 comes next Saturday, or Sunday, sorry, will be something to see, because I don't know who he's going to throw in that midfield. We have options this year. I expected
to... Not Scott Parker.
Well, that would be a shocker.
That's for sure.
That would be a shocker if he started... but then nothing would surprise... I don't look to see Huddleston or Parker there by January. I don't know. It makes me sad, too, because Parker won...
Well, there's no spots in concessions, in the concession stand?
Well, you know, he did win EPL Player of the Year... 4 years, 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, so... And a lot of those lower half teams would be honored to get a player like Parker who can run a midfield like that. But the reality of it is Spurs are going to finish top four this year, and he may be past that in his career. I don't know.
As a midfielder, Scott Parker has yet to score a goal at White Hart Lane.
Well, as true as that is, he did win... He was voted best player of the year 2 years ago without scoring a goal all season, and that's just how some players are.
I type that Tottenham needs in midfield right now, though. Not when they have those new attacks.
Correct.
So I see him rotting away on the bench, or like you said, going to it. I think there are lower half teams that would appreciate Scott Parker. Absolutely,
he'll be in QPR before the end of August.
Okay, obviously. Okay. I think this is another.
It's a good prediction.
Redknapp.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Redknapp will take anything that Spurs toss to the wayside. He really does.
It's funny on that note, I miss him as a manager. Oh, he has personal relationships with various players, you know, like he went and got Parker. And
but you've got the manager with the best beard in the Premier League.
And the best tactician in the game right now. That is true, Hayden, but... Yeah,
well, I'm really going to miss him when he goes to the Dakar rally.
Yeah, I think he'll want trophies before he leaves for that, which is good. So I'm looking forward to those days when they come. And I will follow Turkish track racing if he goes.
Well, Devin says a top four. I don't think – I can't see it happening. As competitive as the league's going to be this year, I can't see it.
I think it all depends on Gareth Bale. I think with Bale full strength and what they've added, if Bale wants to be there and Bale plays as hard as he did last year, I think they're third.
Okay, interesting.
I'm going to go with Zach. I think we finished third. And there's Tottenham fans that are calling for a title this year.
Whew. Okay.
Lord Sugar. I'm not.
Yeah, Lord Sugar.
Oh,
and we got to get him on the show.
Yeah, that would be difficult. But don't forget,
no, he listens.
We have the best goalkeeper in the EPL as well.
Whew. Okay. Well, strong words. Maybe the strongest words ever said in the history of the show. Let's move on before it gets even more ridiculous.
Well, don't get me started on Brad Friedel.
Oh, you're not referring to Brad Friedel? Oh, all right. Anyways, let's go to the team that finished sixth last season, Everton. Changes at Goodison Park as David Moyes is gone. Roberto Martinez comes in from Wigan, brings in Kone, brings in Robles from Atletico Madrid as a decent backup to Tim Howard. And
arguable starter come Saturday.
Arguable. Ooh. Well, we'll discuss that in a second. And the youngster from Barcelona, I don't even want to say his name because I can't pronounce it.
Info.
Okay. Whose name literally means made by God, I believe, in Catalan, the what they speak over there in Barcelona. As far as losing players, not really. I mean, Phil Neville retired. That's pretty much it. So a new manager, but, you know, we've been saying this for months. Baines and Fellaini could be gone any minute. What are realistic expectations on the blue side of Liverpool?
I think if you keep the squad that's intact here, if you keep Fellaini, if you keep Baines, you know, we've added a few players, we've added depth, we haven't added much skill. Well, we've signed half of Wigan's team, and that's about it. So
a team that was relegated last year.
A team that was relegated, and we have a manager that was relegated. So anytime you do the math there, there's a reason to doubt a little bit. But I think that Martinez is a tactical coach, and he plays a brand of football that's different than people at Goodison have seen for 11 years. It's an attacking brand, and it's something that is scaring a lot of people with three in the back line.
Right. They've used a lot of formations this preseason.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, I think the Barcelona starlet, if he takes off, that could be a real difference maker for us. That could be the next big name, honestly. If you've seen he's played a pretty small amount of minutes this preseason. I think it's something he's trying to ease him into, because, you know, he's only played for Barcelona B.
Right.
If you keep Fellaini, if you keep Baines, I think this is a very strong squad. I do, and if everyone stays healthy, I think that they finish fifth.
Okay. Kevin Morales, you know, I think Moyes played him on the wing a lot. Looks like Martinez might try to put him in a more central attacking role. Yeah. Do you think he'll flourish there? I mean, he's a pretty creative player.
Yeah, he's very creative, and he's the only player on that team that is creative, and he's the only one with pace at this point. So if there is anyone who is going to flash a little bit, it's going to be him, and I think that playing him up front like that is going to be good for him. I think playing two up top with him, with Jelavich, Kone when he goes in, I think that's going to work well for us, and I think we're going to score a lot of goals. The problem we had with him last year was, can he finish the game? It was always waved me off in the 85th minute for him, and right. That was a criticism Moyes always had, was he needs to learn how to play in the Premier League and last an entire game. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I see Morales, he's going to have a big impact. If he stays healthy, he's going to score a lot of goals. I think he's going to be brilliant, and he could be a player that other teams are looking at after this year.
Devin, as an outsider looking in, what do you think? Should this be a season Everton look to, you know, maybe get a spot in Europe, or maybe focus on a cup win?
Say this: this is Everton's been a team in the last 3 years that I would have said, oh, not surprising if they got relegated. But every year they fought. They finished
pretty consistently.
They finished sixth last year. Right. I mean, I don't know what to even make of that. And you know what? I don't think it was all David Moyes. Because when it comes down to it, the players on the pitch are the ones who decide the outcome. So I'm not that impressed with their offseason, except for the move for the Barcelona youngster, which did see coming in a Champions tie last year and played well.
Right.
I think he's still got a ways to go before we mention him in the same breath, obviously, as the likes of, you know, obviously, like, really class players.
Right.
But nonetheless, very effective and could surprise people. That is undoubtedly true.
I think this is a year or two that we see Jelavich bounce back, because this is a player. When Moyes brought him in,
yeah, kind of had a sophomore slump last year.
He did. He had a terrible year, and I would put that on the back of David Moyes, playing him as a winger. He's not a winger. He's not a creator. He's a finisher.
Right.
And he's someone that should be in the box when you've got Pienaar, mm-hmm. Baines, Morales, whoever's out on the wing, getting the ball to him. He's not a player with a lot of pace, but he's got a good touch, and he's got a good head on his shoulders that's in the right place at the right time. So that's 90% of his goals are one-touch goals. They all are. So okay. if we can find a way to get him in the box and utilize him the way he's supposed to be, then I think he has a great year, and I think he scores goals, because he has been this offseason. He's found his touch again, and it's because of the brand of football that Martinez has brought in.
The last two seasons, Everton have finished above Liverpool. Speaking of, you know, it's been quite the offseason. I don't know if any other team has experienced quite. It makes me wish that being Liverpool was still going on.
So wait, real quick, just to make clear, Zach, do you think Everton finishes above Liverpool this coming year?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay. I think for the first time in a few years, I think they're the one taking points. It's not going to be draw-draw, as we've seen. I think they take at least 4 points.
That's the scariest prediction to me, where Everton, Liverpool finish. Draw a number out of a hat. I don't know.
Back to Liverpool. It's been a crazy offseason at Anfield. Suarez refuses to cooperate on anything. Doesn't look like he's going to apologize anytime soon. Even if he does, he's still got 6 games he's got to sit out for. Should he be sold?
Yes.
Why?
Why? Not fair to Liverpool to keep a player who's done so much to harm the club. And for Suarez... Yeah,
but is there such thing as loyalty anymore?
No.
I mean, success and money pretty much trump everything.
No, there's no such thing. Especially in this crazy transfer saga that goes on in the world of football. But I think that Suarez should leave. Liverpool should cut their losses and get this over with. He's gone. I mean, once players, you saw with Modric, tarnish their relationship with clubs, it's like, it's never the same. And plus, he's a disgrace to the English Premier League with his conduct.
I think loyalty, as you said, is getting a lot harder to find with clubs. You have the Steven Gerrards, you have the Frank Lampards, you've got arguably if Bain stays at Everton, he's the kind of player that you give a testimonial to. I think you absolutely have to sell him. He is, out of all of these transfer talks, the most unhappy of these players, and he's professed that in his broken llama English. He's a savage. He bites people, and he doesn't want to be there. And I wouldn't, if I was Liverpool, I wouldn't want him there.
They're taking a stand, though.
I'd get my 50 mil and get out of there, and buy someone else. So, yeah, I don't really understand the stand itself, because I think it's only going to be a cancer for the first however many weeks of this season until they resolve this problem.
I think it says something to Liverpool's financial situation, saying, hey, we're good. They must be doing okay financially if they're not really looking actively to sell him.
Financially, I don't think it's going to be the problem for them. I think it's the fact that Luis Suarez is the reason they didn't finish in the bottom 10 last year.
That could be so. I think several factors. I think one, it was Brendan Rodgers' first season. You're always going to see a transition. I think this team, this squad's done a lot. Brendan Rodgers, an active transfer window, bringing in the striker Iago Aspas from Spain, Simon Mignolet from Sunderland, Colo Touré, who looks to be so far a suitable replacement for Jamie Carragher. Look at the players that are out. You know, Carroll, what a terrible experiment that was. And I don't blame Brendan Rodgers for selling him, because he didn't buy him in the first place. That was a Kenny Dalglish move, and he doesn't fit in Brendan Rodgers' system. Stuart Downing just left today. Good riddance. Don't let the Anfield sign hit you on the way out. They sold Jonjo Shelvey, which watching Liverpool, being Liverpool last season, Brendan Rodgers thought he was going to be a player there for the next decade, and so did a lot of people, but he's gone. Reyna's on loan, Suso's on loan, Carragher retires. I think this is a team that, if Suarez isn't there, it's all going to fall on Daniel Sturridge. And, well, it will fall on Daniel Sturridge for the first 6 games at least. The partnership between him and Coutinho, we saw shades of brilliance from him last season.
Coutinho, look for him to have a great year.
I think you'll see him play next year, at least in the roster for Brazil's World Cup squad.
Yeah, I think that's something he's going to want to do through his club play is be on the mat for the World Cup. So, yeah, I think he has a great year. To me, the biggest question mark was the signing of Mignolet and sending Pepe off on loan. I thought that Reyna's done a spectacular job there. And he's a squad player that a lot of people liked and was part of that brand. So I didn't like that move so much.
I was surprised only because he once Carragher is left, now Pepe's left, that leaves Gerrard as really the only, you know, senior member of the club.
Yeah.
I mean, Agger was just named a vice captain, and Agger will have to step up and bring some more leadership to the team. But it's a very young squad, and I think, you know, keeping Pepe would have, you know, added some, you know, senior leadership. I mentioned Brendan Rodgers earlier. Do the American owners have the patience to keep Rodgers if he can't get a top four finish? Do you think if he can't get one this season, he's gone?
A top four finish?
Right. Because I think a lot of...
Necessarily. I think that you have to take into account what Rodgers inherited. Kenny kind of left him with a mess. I think that if they can push, if they could win a cup and finish 5th or 6th, I think he stays. If they finish close to 10th and don't do any damage in any of the cups, then, yeah, I think he's gone. I don't think it has to be top four necessarily, though, and I don't think that's realistic.
Okay. Devin, what do you see out of them this season?
Liverpool?
Right. Oh, boy. Say Suarez stays.
They finish top. Oh, it hurts me to say this, but they're a desperate team. Top six. They're in the top six somewhere. I don't make me put a number on that, but I think they're in the top six, seven. I couldn't tell you where in that. Okay. Don't think top four.
So okay. They finish 8th.
Wow, okay. Well, obviously I might be a little biased, but I think all the pieces are in for a top four finish. We've discussed the top seven teams. Let's move on to the rest of the league.
Well, real quick,
Andrew. Okay, of course.
Out of
well, this is good. We're taping this on a Tuesday night, so this will be several hours old.
Well, anyway, if you're listening live, which you're not, this is breaking news: Parker to QPR for £2 million via lacking a medical. But
Devin, the Oracle.
Also, Tottenham have confirmed the assign of Kapuwe from the French league, the defensive midfielder, for an undisclosed fee. So,
always breaking news from Devin. Rest of the league, you guys see anybody that's going to surprise you from the other teams that we discussed?
I think Swans have the potential to finish and push for a top four finish. I think Michu and how do you pronounce it, Bonnie.
Boney,
yeah. I think his arrival and taking some pressure off of Michu is going to be good for them, and I think it's going to be a team that's going to score a lot of goals and has the potential to beat those upper tier clubs this year. So I think, yeah, I think they finish. I think they finish 6th.
Okay, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do in Europa League. Devin, Aston Villa. Benteke, the captain, surprisingly, and they've made a couple of nice signings in the transfer window. You see anything out of them this season? I think Rio's scheme, maybe a top 10 finish would be nice for them.
I agree with you 100% on that, because their defense is still shaky. Great, would they have the goals? That's great, but I'd like to see the stats. I wish I would have looked at it, but I would think their defense would rank down there in the last. At least the last 5 teams last year.
I mean, I think realistically they got to get out of the bottom 3 quickly. Darren Bent, only 5 players have scored more goals than him in the past 4 years. Can you believe that?
It's surprising just because of the lack of luster the last 2 years. But, I mean, it just shows you how quick you can fall from grace here in the English Premier League.
Okay, you know, we're kind of running out of time here, but... the new clubs, we got Cardiff, Crystal Palace, and Hull. Which of these promoted teams do you think has the greatest chance of staying in the EPL?
I think they all have potential to stay. I think that probably for me it'd be Hull City. But I think this is a strong group coming up that's made a decent amount of signings. Not terribly big names, but they've all been strengthening their squads. You know, $5 to $10 million signings.
Give me Cardiff to stay up this year with the signings of Stephen Caulker and a dangerous Spanish striker that goes by the nickname of Pitbull.
Plus, you can't forget Craig Bellamy, the pride of Wales.
Well,
I think they're 14th, 15th. Sure. I don't know about Crystal Palace a whole.
These are
from what I've read, it doesn't look like either one of them could make it. It's gonna be tough.
Cardiff and Hull, for me, you know, those are two teams that have had a lot of history in the top tier. I think that plays into it. I think the atmospheres, the stadiums, they're going to play in. I think they belong in the Premier League, and I think that they're going to show that, and both of them stay up.
Is there any new EPL players coming to the league that you're excited for? I'm interested to see how Paulinho does.
I like Paulinho, but even more Soldado, because what if he has the year he did last year? I mean,
oh.
Wow.
I like that O you put there.
For me, obviously, it's going to be the Barcelona starlet, Soldado. That'll be interesting to watch. So will Jesus Navas.
I think Paulinho, you know, rare is it to have a goal scoring midfielder in the Spurs lineup.
But will he play regularly?
I think he will. I mean, but I'm basing this off his performance in the Confederations Cup. But
one more player. I think look at Leroy Fer at Norwich.
Norwich, yeah.
A former Everton target, really promising young man, big strong midfielder. I think he has an impact on where Norwich finishes for sure.
Side note.
Look for Danny Rose to steal the starting left back position from Asuakado. Little surpriser for you.
Okay. Any Americans you think will have a big impact on their club this season?
Breck Shea.
Donovan on loan in the spring at Everton.
Wow. Okay. I think Brad Guzan, impressed this summer. Aston Villa's player of the year last year. I don't see why you can't do it again.
Yeah, I think.
Over Benteke.
Stoke.
Impressive.
Stoke has been signing Americans left and right. They've got four now. They've got Cameron, Shea, Edu, and now Agudelo.
Agudelo just signed.
He'll
be there in January, but yeah.
Right. So, is that them trying to attract a more global brand, or are those more tactical signings? I don't know, because those aren't exactly the pride of America at this point.
Right.
But, I'd love to see, this is not that Tony Pulis BS. So hopefully they're going to be attacking a lot more, and Breck Shea is going to get a chance to score goals there, because that's what the national team needs.
Speaking of America, NBC Sports Network and NBC are now in charge of every Premier League game, and they're really going all out. Every game will be available in some form or fashion, whether it be on NBC or NBC Sports Network or online or on your tablet or mobile device. What do you guys think of this? I mean, really, really, starting off with a bang.
It's going to be weird.
We're going to miss Ian Dart, of course.
Well, of course. And I've gotten so used to waking up and watching Fox Soccer and hearing Rob Stone and
Wadala
and all those guys. And you know what?
I'm so sad I won't be able to see Eric Wynalda. Rebecca Lowe, though, easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be weird not watching them, but NBC has shown that they have the ambition to make this popular here in America, and I'm excited to see what they do with it. They're a class production company. They run great local stations, too.
I think Fox Soccer had their chance, and they botched it. They botched it bad.
They still have Champions League. We'll see. I mean, they usually do a decent job with Champions League.
Yeah, but I'm excited about it. I think that what I've seen so far from their analysts, their commentators, the way they're trying to promote it here, minus their tweet they sent out today.
Explaining the
rules of Premier League like you would to a 2-year-old, which was kind of...
Yeah, we know how many points a win gets.
Yeah, it's kind of an insult to anyone who's ever seen someone kick a soccer ball before. So I didn't like that so much, but I think that that's not going to be something that to continue.
Good bit of fun, a little light humor.
Quickly, one word. Who's your player of the year?
Player of the year. Oh, wow.
Van Persie. Ooh. Well, I think I'm going to go with... you know what? I'm going to go with Yaya Toure.
Wow. I'm going to go Mata.
Okay.
And finally, let's one more time, our top four and your three relegated teams.
All right. United wins the title. we come back with City with a second place finish. Tottenham third. Coming in fourth, Chelsea. Surprise pick right there. But anyway.
And relegated.
Relegated. Hull, Crystal Palace. And then, you know what? A team that sneaks in there. Heartbreak for them. Going to go with... I'm going to go with Norwich.
Oh. All right, your top four and your three relegated.
My top four, I think United and City finish 1 and 2. I think United wins, but it's really kind of a toss-up. I think that, you know, depending on what happens with Bale, I think Spurs could finish third. I think that Chelsea finished fourth. But I think Everton challenged for that spot.
Okay. And your three relegated teams?
Relegated. Oh. Honestly, I hope to God it's Newcastle.
It almost was last season.
Newcastle, Crystal Palace, and I'm going to go with West Brom.
Okay. They are going to miss the goal-scoring Lukaku. It's really going to hurt them.
No, I would say that's the only reason they had the success they did early on in the season.
I'm going to go, I'm going to stick with mine, City, Chelsea, United, Liverpool, and three relegated, Palace, Hull, and, sorry all you American fans, Stoke. So, that's, we've said all we can now, and now we're just waiting for the games to start. Be sure to, watch this Saturday and Sunday. I don't know about you, I'll be up at 7 on Saturday.
I've got to the point where I just... EPL is so great to watch, even if it's two relegation teams. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited for this season. I think it's going to be a fun one, and it's good to see the brand growing in America. And every day we add a little bit of fandom here, and I don't know. It just gets more fun when people are talking about it. To where it's we when we began this as a friends group, we were kind of outsiders. And now there's a little more. One more talk in the town.
Well, I mean, for a country that's going to be in the World Cup final next year, we might as well get used to
exactly
a lot of soccer.
Moving up to 19th in the FIFA
above, I just can't wait to face Brazil in the final.
Last note: everyone pick a World Cup winner right now. Belgium.
I think the final. I mean, it's obviously going to be Brazil and the U.S. in the final. We'll see what happens after 90 minutes, but
I think Belgium really has a chance at it. I do, but. I think USA pulls through.
USA. Okay. Well, that does it for our. Yeah, that was good. I think that was our first show in about 8 months.
It was.
And it shook the dust off, and cobwebs are all cleaned. Let's meet back next week, shall we? Maybe get our old pal Drew Peterson back in for some.
He's hard to sign on these talk shows.
Maybe Brad Taylor. Whew.
Maybe.
If we're lucky. All right. Until next time, for Devin and Zach, I'm Hayden. We'll see you next time.